Habakkuk chapter 2. So, where is Habakkuk? It's in the Old Testament. We five books from the end of the Old Testament. You got Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And then you have Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Y'all were like, that didn't help me at all. Look at your table of contents. And then hop to Habakkuk chapter 2. And today is a little different. We rolling, right, E? Okay. Today is a little different because God says so. So I do what he says. And yeah, I'm teaching a little, preaching a little, but I'm talking. Because 42 years ago, yesterday, Pastor Sam Goodwin and Miss Fanny Goodwin hosted the first Bible study in their home, September 20th, 1983. Now, some of y'all wasn't even around. I was there in the audience somewhere, probably mad and saying, what is this? Why are these people in my house? I was 7 years old, about to turn 8 years old. And in July 16th, 1983, God gave Pastor Sam Goodwin a vision for Steadfast Christian Center. And sometimes when I think about it, I think about the fact that on July 16th, 1983, Pastor Sam Goodwin was 40 years old. He had five children, the baby of which was seven. So he had kids that he had to provide for and take care of. He had recently been fired from his job as coach at the University of South Carolina. And at a particular crossroads, Pastor Goodwin in 1983 had only been saved for 8 years at best, because he got saved in 1975. So imagine how strong your faith was when you were 8 years saved. We wouldn't even be considering hearing from God a vision for a ministry. He had only been filled with the Holy Spirit for a half a second, because that didn't come until 1983. So there are a lot of nuggets. I'm gonna give you five main ones today, but the first one that you need to glean, and there's no title for this. Sorry, DJ. It's all good. But the first nugget is that God is not looking for you to be old in the Lord. It's not about your age in the Lord. Your pastor who founded a ministry that has persisted for 42 years had been saved for less than 8 years. I gotta say that again. He was less than eight spiritually in natural years. And filled with the Holy Spirit less than a year. God is not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to be available and say yes. And so it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You can do a great work for God. It doesn't matter how long you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith is not about how long. The word says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, as long as you're diligently seeking him, and that you believe that God is who he says he is, then you can have faith that moves mountains. You can have faith that starts ministries, even as your own life is sort of falling apart. Now think about the skill set. Yes, Pastor Goodwin had a college education. I think at that point he was probably in some sort of ministry classes through the Mount Hebron Association. Although he had not been ordained, that didn't happen until January 1984. But God gave the man a vision. He also confirmed the vision with the woman of God, who was Miss Fanny. As the story goes, Pastor had the vision and then told Mom to pray. And then when she prayed, she confirmed everything that he heard. which means where two or three are gathered together in God's name, he's in the midst of them. You don't need a lot of people. You don't need a lot of confirmation. You need your ride or die, your wife, your good thing, or your husband, your good thing. But God can confirm his word through other people who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you don't have to have a lot of time, and you don't have to have a whole lot of Holy Ghost. You just need to say, yes, I'm going to answer this call. And when you think about the fact that this vision has lasted for so long, pretty much the whole of my life, it's an amazing thing to think about, that you are here because he did what he was supposed to do. And so as we're looking at these scriptures today, nothing is new. All of it is very familiar. They're actually pretty foundational scriptures to this ministry. But I wanted to start with Habakkuk 2. You know, I was ministering the word a couple of weeks ago and covered this scripture, and I was like, ho. We need to go back and recapture some things about this. So we're looking at Habakkuk 2, and I want you to read verses 2 and 3 with me. If you're there, say, I have it. Praise the Lord. Y'all had plenty of time to get there. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3 on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Give God a praise offering for the word. So here's the first nugget today. It is God's vision, not your vision. It is God's vision, not your vision. The vision that God gave Pastor Sam Goodwin was his vision. His job, Pastor Sam Goodwin's job, was to write it and make it plain so we can run with it. And that's what he did, and that's what we're doing. It's not. If you believe that God has called you to do certain things, your job is to write down what he tells you and then do what he says. It is not your plan. It's his plan. You know, as we grow up and grow and mature, we really think that life is about us, and it's not. It is about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is his vision for your life. If you've been saved and you've confessed and believe, you've made a spiritual connection with God that cannot be severed or broken. You can disconnect from it, but he's never going to withdraw from you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And so it is very important to realize that when you write the vision, you're not writing your vision, you're writing his vision, which means the person who created you and molded you and put all the things in you has enabled you to carry out the vision as it is written. Because it's his plan for you. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And a lot of times when we hear that verse, we think about God. We think it's an affirmative verse for us. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No, you were made. You were made fearfully and wonderfully. So you praise God because he made you who you are. And then the psalmist says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well. So you were made by God fearfully and wonderfully, and you are marvelous because he chose to make you so. So when you are busy writing your vision and making it plain on tablets, make sure that you remember that it's his vision, not your vision. So when Dad showed me at some point, and this is my book, I don't know where his book is. It's somewhere around here. But this is my book, because I keep my book very close. And so at some point, back in the early 2000s. I started really writing the vision and making it plain on tablets. And no, I'm not sharing all this with you. This is between me and the Lord. It's interesting, though. I had to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere and write something down at some point in time so that you can, as the Amplified says, so that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by, which means if you're the head of your household, then you are writing the vision for your household, and you need to make it plain on tablets so everybody in the house knows what the purpose and the goal is. You know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, can't speak for the other ones, but when I was growing up, because my parents have been saved my entire life. The other siblings can't say that. But when I was growing up, one of the vision points in our household was learning the Word of God. And so there was a scripture list that we kept adding to week by week, month by month. We had about 70 scriptures that we were supposed to have committed to memory, and they were on the refrigerator. And before every meal, as a part of the vision, then we had to say one of the scriptures on the list. And so if you were a visitor, you could say Jesus wept. But Jesus wept wasn't on the list. And so if you lived in the household, you had to follow the vision, which was to learn the Word of God. Not to be mean, not to be punitive, but to emphasize that hiding the Word in our hearts was important so we wouldn't sin against God. That there's this relationship we have between the Word of God that we learn and how far we go in the things of God. And so that part of the vision in our house was very plain, and it's on tablets. The list is still on the fridge. We done been through about 4 fridges, and the list has moved. It's been cleaned up because the list got food on it and written on it and all of that. So we have had reprints of the list, but the list is still the list. Amen? And so if you are the vision holder for you, if you're single, you're the vision holder for you. Listen to what God is telling you about your life. Write the vision. Make it plain. And as I was looking through this vision, because this is 20 years ago now, gosh, that happened fast. It's 20 years ago that I wrote some of this stuff down. I'm not even on some of the stuff that I wrote down, but some of it, the essence of it, is still me. I wrote a lot of stuff down that I wanted to accomplish or I felt like God was calling me to do in this life. A lot. And so if you look back at the original document and you're very careful to write what God has said and not your interpretation of what God has said, then you will have a vision that you can run with. And verse 3 in the Amplified says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end. It hastens to fulfillment. So if we are here in Steadfast, and the vision that was given for Steadfast was to have a home for single moms, to have programs for disadvantaged youth, to have outreaches for the elderly, and we are not at the end of the vision, then the Word says that we should wait for it. And so part of the reason why in the change of leadership, the vision of Steadfast did not change is because it hasn't reached fulfillment yet. And the Word says at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. So we're not making a liar of God by changing what we think we're supposed to do. Well, you're not Pastor Goodwin. No, I'm not. But I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works, and that my soul knows well. I know I'm not him. And so there have to be things about this phase of the ministry that are specific for us, not just me, us collectively, that we have to do to grow and mature in the things of God, because 42 years ago, a man and a woman opened up their home to start a Bible study, to rightly divide the word of truth with these things in mind that were coming. And at a certain point, this man and woman of God knew they wouldn't see the end of this thing called Steadfast and Unmovable Ministries Incorporated And they did it anyway. They didn't get mad that they weren't going to be here for all of it. They set the thing in motion and believed God as they left that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And so here we are, fulfilling the vision, bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and empowering them to be steadfast in the word of God. That's what we do. As they fulfill their God-given purpose and become resourceful laborers who represent Jesus Christ in the earth. Amen? Amen. So it's God's vision, not our vision. Turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. It's just a few books over. When you get there, say, I have it. Just me and Maurice. First division of Psalms. Praise God. Between Job and Proverbs, the longest book of the Bible. 150 chapters. Psalms. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I want you to read verse 3 with me. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, me, and then we'll read 3 together. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Begin. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Give God a praise offering for the word. So if you look at the front of your program, if you look at your pen, if you look at anything, your shirt, you will see a tree on there. And it comes from, partly from this scripture, because that's part of the vision that God gave Pastor Goodwin for Steadfast Christian Center. And so this is the nugget for this particular scripture. Righteousness and seeking God precede stability and prosperity. Righteousness and seeking God precedes stability and prosperity. Because verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So first, you are blessed if you don't hang out with the ungodly, if you don't hang out with sinners, if you're not hanging out with the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So you have to be righteous and seeks God's face through his word. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Righteousness and seeking God precedes the tree. If you do those things, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So that's stability. If you ever see any storms, and we've had some violent storms, those trees, those roots go down deep and are secure, survive storms. Those trees who are dead on the inside, that aren't secure and strong, get pulled up. You know, we've had the opportunity to move into homes that were new twice. So my parents moved into their home in 1995. And if you look at our trees today in 2025, which is 30 years, you will see that some of them didn't make it, but the ones that did are strong and sturdy, and they're not moving. We have what I could like to call the Valerie tree in the front yard. The Valerie tree is a crepe myrtle, and my mom made sure that it was purple, because purple is my favorite color. So all the other trees in the yard are pink or green or whatever, but the tree that's in the front, when it blooms purple. It's I call it the Valerie tree, because they did it for me. That's their homage to me. We have a palm tree that I had to bring underneath my seat from L.A. because my dad wanted a palm from L.A. Even before he bought the house, we bought the palm. This is back in 92. I'm traveling with a little palm tree underneath the seat in my plane on the flight. And my mom put it in a pot and let it grow until it outgrew the pot. And then when we moved in the house, we planted it in the backyard. And it is firm and secure and growing. And its leaf has not withered. And it has prospered. The word says that if you are a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in a season. So if you want to see that prosperity of bringing forth the fruit in season, and you don't want to see your leaf withering, then you need to be like a tree. But first, you got to be righteous. And you have to seek God's face, his delight. That means the joy that you have is in the law of the Lord. So you can't not spend time studying the word of God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You don't spend any time studying this word, you're not going to reap from studying the word of God. Amen? Your delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, which means you've got to spend regular, consistent time in the word of God. Righteousness and seeking God precedes stability and prosperity. If you feel in your life that you're not stable, you're not seeking God. Or you might not be righteous. Or it might be both. If you ain't seeking God, it's real hard to stay righteous. Because the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to you. He's not leading and guiding you into all truth. And so if you seek, what you seek is that peace that passes all understanding that guards your heart and mind. If what you seek is what the word of God is showing you, then you have to rightly divide this word of truth. Amen? Amen. All right. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Told you, everything is familiar today. Romans chapter 8. And when you get there, say, I have it. Praise God. Your Bible should be falling open to the air if you've had your Bible for a while. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. And we're going to look at verses 26 through 28. I want you to read verse 28 with me. Amen. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Begin. And we know that all things work together for good to those who call God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. Give God a praise offering. So the third nugget is, let the Holy Spirit help you. Let the Holy Spirit help you. The word says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit is talking about the Holy Spirit here, also helps in our weaknesses, which means we're not always strong in all things. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us when we're weak. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercessions for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession. That capital he is God. Now God who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because God makes intercession for the saints, or the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when Jesus went to heaven, he said he wouldn't leave us alone. He left us the Holy Spirit. About 120 days after Jesus rose from this earth, the Holy Spirit came like fire. with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so we got to get past tongues and understand that praying in the Holy Spirit builds us up on our most holy faith. It is our connection with God. It's the person God left for us here in the earth. And he lives in us. The word says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is living in us and he is dwelling in us, then at the end of those things, and he's making intercession for the saints, then we are clear and confident that all things work together for good to those who love God. If you love God and you are called according to his purpose, then all things are working together for you. That's what a relationship with the Holy Spirit will do for you. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. This is the King James Version, because that's how I learned it. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is here to guide us into truth, or the truth of the Word of God. He's not speaking of his own agenda, but whatever he hears from God is what he is sharing with us. And in that process, he gives us insight into what is coming. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you should treat him as someone who, one, has a direct connection with the Father. He is the direct connection we have with the Father. So if you look at our logo and stuff, you will see the dove. The dove is representative of the Holy Spirit that came down when Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit when John baptized him. And then I had a little side thought. Say side thought going down the street. Just to reaffirm, because people want to change the vision so much. John's whole life was dedicated to telling people that Jesus was coming. That's all he ever said. Hey, y'all, Jesus is coming. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He never get off message. Even when Jesus came, he was like, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoes. He knew what his purpose was. He fulfilled his purpose. Gives you food for thought. Why are we worried about changing the vision and the mission? Because the seats aren't filled? That's not what God has called us to do. We're supposed to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to empower them in the Word of God. So that's what we do. We don't change the vision. God didn't change the vision because the conditions of this world have changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He ain't changing. We all need to change. He will give us the wisdom and the insight to enact what the vision is for this time to this people. We have to believe that. We have to let the Holy Spirit help us. Amen? So, turn over. We're not even going to turn. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I know y'all can say it starts with now. On the count of three. One, two, three. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Give God a praise offering for you. Now we're going to do verse six. But without. Y'all ready? Let's begin. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Give God a praise offering for you. So this is the fourth nugget. Faith pleases God. You want to please God with what you do? Walk by faith, not by sight. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So with faith, you please him. for he who comes to God. If you gonna go to God and ask him for something, you gotta believe that he is. If you wanna go to God and ask him for healing, you gotta believe he's the healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your savior. He's your Lord. If you don't believe that he is, then you don't go to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Whatever it is that you need him to be, you have to believe that he is when you go to him. Think about salvation. When you confess and believe, you believe that he is Lord. Your first act of faith. He who comes to God, the first time you please God was the day you pleaded the blood for your life. That you confessed and believed that Jesus is Lord. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't earnestly and sincerely seek God, he cannot reward you. You gotta believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. And so your faith pleases him to the point that he rewards you. And so that's the takeaway. And we got the tree and we got the dove and we walking by faith in here. These are all things that Pastor Sam Goodwin has taught us to do. The reason we can quote Hebrews 11, 1 and 6 is because of him. He done hid that word in our heart so deep. They don't even matter. That in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, those three should really be in there. Deep, deep. It should just come out of you. Amen? All right. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 6. Do go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Not new, but one that you need to be reminded of. And it's tying into 1 Corinthians 15, 58. So as you're going to Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord isn't in vain. Your labor in the Lord is worth something. That's why you should always be laboring in the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It amounts to something. It means something. Some of y'all need to rethink what work means, because some of y'all think coming and showing up to sing and usher and greet is the work of the Lord. That is not the work of the Lord. Yes, thank you. It's the work of the ministry, but it ain't the work of the Lord. It's that prayer you say in the morning when you say, Lord, bring somebody in my path today that I can share the love of Jesus with. Apollos planted, I water, but God gives the increase. So it is then neither he who plants nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. That you are God's building. That's the work of the Lord. You think the Spirit of God is living in you, you work a little different. You can't do what you thought you wanted to do when you know the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. There's going to be conflict until you present your body a living sacrifice. And I'm okay with that. Let the Holy Spirit do what he's supposed to do. Annoy you. Thank God the Holy Spirit just kept dealing with me till I dealt with myself. He wouldn't let me go. He didn't give up on me. God's child, can't do this. God's child, you can't do this. Can't be in a hole in these streets. God's child, don't take that. God's child, don't do that. I saw you do it, don't do it again. You're God's child. Don't date that dude. You're God's child. Don't go that path. You're God's child. It ain't worth it. You're God's child. He gonna guide you in all truth. If you wake up every day and you pray to the Father, and even on the days when you don't, the Holy Spirit is all in your business. Because God never leaves you or forsakes you. You're going to be in conflict until you submit to the will of God. It's not comfortable being in conflict, but you're safe in his arms. That's the real difference. It ain't comfortable for you because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. But you're safe with him. His angels still have charge over you. You still see new mercies every morning. His grace is sufficient for you, even in your weakness. All right. You should be in Hebrews chapter 6, right? All right. We're going to look at verses 10 and 12. I'm going to read 10, and then we're going to read verse 12 together. We're skipping 11. It's a good verse, but we get into the good part. Amen? All right, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hold on. Got to read it again. It was too good. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We're going to verse 12. Let's begin. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Give God a praise offering. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. He hasn't forgotten you out here. He never forgets you. And the love that you have shown toward his name, and that you minister to the saints and do minister. When we come on Saturday and go to the community, God has not forgotten our work and labor of love, because we're on assignment to show love to the community. He didn't forget us. And so verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish, that you're not slow, that you're not dragging your feet, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So who are we imitating? We're imitating Pastor Sam Goodwin. We're imitating Miss Fanny Goodwin, because those are some who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So you have to have faith and patience. That's your last nugget. You gotta have faith and patience. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in order for you to have faith, you have to hear the word of God. And then you gotta have patience. You've got to allow patience to have her perfect work. And let's be honest and real. We don't want to be patient. Let's just tell it like it really is. We have no patience. We like Christian. We want it now. Hey. He just smiled at me so big. We want it right now. And we don't want to wait. But through faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, through the way that we please God, then we inherit the promise. Even if we don't see the end of the vision for our family, we set the vision for our family. That's how the generations are impacted. So that Sam and Fanny raised some servant people. They raised some loving people, not just here in the body of Christ. I'm really thinking about my siblings and my nieces and nephews. There is a thing that happens when you run into them. We gonna work hard, and we gonna serve with gladness. And we're gonna give and not expect to receive anything in return, because that's what our parents taught us to do. Our pastor and first lady taught us that also. They also taught us to rightly divide the word of truth. They taught us to get into this word so that we can do what God has called us to do. And they knew that they weren't going to see the end of this thing, and they did it anyway. Because it was setting up what was necessary. It was the work in the earth. You don't always have to see the fruition of what God has promised you. You just got to do your part. If you look back through history, everything that we are experiencing now that is good did not come at the hands or to those who sacrificed their lives to make it good. We've got those who serve in the military. They gave their lives to make sure that we're safe and free. And in doing it, they did it knowing that was a cost and a risk. And they did it anyway, so that we have the promises that we have now. And so you can't be selfish, because you didn't make you. God made you fearfully and wonderfully to fulfill his work in the earth. And as long as you're doing what he gave you to do, then you're fulfilling it. And there's a lot of peace there. There's a lot of joy there. There's a lot of provision in being and doing what God has called you to do. And if you feel like you're missing that peace and you're missing that joy, that you're not fulfilling whatever your purpose is, you need to go back and write the vision. God's vision for you, and make it plain so that you and everyone who comes with you can run with it, because there is an appointed time for it. Some of us are missing our windows, or our time is getting pushed further and further back because we don't want to be righteous, and we don't want to rightly divide this word, and we don't want to please God at our essence. We just don't want to do it. It's just too hard. And there's nothing too hard for God. All things are possible. Amen. Through him, with him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we have to give up on that attitude that says we can't. That is a trick of the enemy. We have to learn to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that's going to bring forth its fruit in a season. We have to always abound in the work of the Lord. If we're busy always being about God's work, we don't have time to get into something else. What if in September 20th, 1983, Pastor Sam and Miss Fanny Goodwin, who were just Sam and Fanny Goodwin at the time, were too busy, too broke, too humiliated, to have no occupation, to invite people in their house to rightly divide the word of truth? What if they didn't know enough to lead a Bible study? We got to be about our business. We've got to be about the business of God. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise the Lord. This is one you're going to have to play back, folks. It's going to hit you at some point. But I appreciate the opportunity to be the planter or waterer so that God can give the increase in your life. Y'all messing with it. I gave up. I ain't not doing what he told me to do. I just can't. I can't be fighting with him no more. I don't want to fight with myself. He made me to be this person. Even if I don't believe I'm the person that's supposed to be doing this, this is who he made me to be. I'm going to do it. He waiting for you to do it. Whatever it is, he equipped you. He made you. Every hair on your head he made. He controls your thoughts, your preferences. He put that in you for a purpose and a reason. He's just waiting for you to say yes to him. If you're here this morning